Well, welcome back to another episode of the Money Mentor podcast. We've got Dr. Andrew Wilson, Chief Economist at My Housing Market again. We've got plenty to unpack again. I'll be stepping in for Graham this week. But how are you, Doc? Good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm great, Glenn. Another big week in property. Of course, I suppose the big news is that the Reserve Bank met yesterday for its March meeting. A little bit late than we're used to. Usually we have those in the old regime. We had Reserve Bank meeting on the first Tuesday of every month of the year, except for January. But it's changed this year. We're only going to have 8 meetings, and the first of those changes came about in March. Of course, that's this month, where we've had the Reserve Bank meeting on the, is it the 1, 2, 3? I don't know, second or third Tuesday. And it's not going to meet at all over April. So let's hope everything stays okay. So there doesn't have to be an emergency meeting, but I'm only kidding. And then our next meeting will be in May. So March, then May, and it'll be early in May. So I'm not really missing out on much because April is, of course, a holiday month. We've got Easter break coming up next week. Of course, happy Easter, everybody. An interesting decision from the Reserve Bank. Not so much in the actual decision because it was on hold, and we know that rates are really going to remain on hold for a while, in my opinion anyway, I should say we know. But the interesting thing was more about the narrative, what the commentary was, which changed a little bit. But I don't want to give too much away. So let's have a look at the week that was, and let's get the slides up so we can talk about that. There'll be a copy of this, a PDF copy of the presentation as well, which we'll send out with a QR code towards the end, so stay tuned for that one. So My Housing Market again presents this week in property, together with Infinity, of course, so week ending Wednesday, March the 20th, which is today. What we're going to look at is the latest RBA interest rate decision. We sort of previewed that a little bit. The general outlook for interest rates, probably a good opportunity to talk about that, what we think the rest of the year will hold. Things can change, of course, but we can look at the key drivers and see what's positive and what's negative for rates. And interesting for our investors out there today, we're going to look at the current Capital City investment returns. We've had, of course, our monthly data, our latest monthly data sets for house prices and rents over the February quarter. So we're going to put that all together and see what sort of returns our investors are getting on the current data. So that's very interesting.
I think that was a popular demand. I think a lot of Infinity fam were coming through with that as well to come up with that. So we've got it all here for you guys. So stay tuned.
Yeah, well, we're here to serve, and we'll serve we shall today. And, of course, we've got the latest weekend auction results. And we've got this coming weekend. I mentioned that the following weekend is Easter, of course, so we have a nice break. But the weekend before Easter, in terms of the auction market, is what we refer to as Super Saturday. Yes, I'm excited. I can tell Glenn's excited. But it is Super Saturday coming up. And we call it Super Saturday because there's going to be large numbers of auctions. And the reason there is because a lot of those that were thinking about selling their property in the autumn season, the early part of the year, like to get in before that Easter break because it is a lengthy break. And then we have Anzac Day a couple weeks after that. So we always see that sort of front-end loading of listings on the weekend before Easter. And that giving too much away, we've had a very big year so far for auction listings. In fact, it's been a record year for the number of properties that have gone under the hammer. And It's also been a record year for the number of properties that have been sold. So a stronger start to the market this year. We'll look at the latest results, which have just been big numbers. But just an inkling that these big numbers are finally starting to impact buyer depth, where, you know, starting to soak up a lot of that buyer depth and clearance rates just a little bit off last weekend, even though, you know, there were big numbers and lots of sales. And I guess that sets it up for this coming weekend, where we're likely to see even more auctions, big numbers, and that will again put pressure on the number of buyers out there. So will we see another easing in clearance rates? But clearance rates aren't the be-all and end-all, because if we're throwing so many listings at the market, we can't expect that to be continuously absorbed, particularly the record numbers. So we'll see. So when we look at the number of actual sales that are occurring, they're very, very high now, because clearance rates are still quite solid, but listings are just at big volume. So we'll look at those latest auction results. I've given a lot of it away now, but I've whetted your appetite for the data as it comes through. So let's have a look at what the Reserve Bank did for its second meeting of the year. The March meeting, as I said, a little different this year. We're further into the month for the March meeting because we're only going to have 8 meetings this year, and the next one won't be until early May. No surprise, the RBA left rates on hold again. So that's the third month in a row that the RBA has left rates alone. The economy is still strong despite those 13 rate rises that we have had since May 22. The jobless rate is still at, you know, near record low levels. It has increased recently. But it's still, even though it's just over 4%, it is what we would consider to be a very low unemployment rate. Regardless, we sort of had those threes, mid threes, higher threes, you know, for the best, the most part of last year and the year before. But we're now moved beyond that. We still have jobs being increased, unemployment numbers are falling over the past 6 months, and the participation rate is also still at near record highs. That means we're really providing jobs for jobs, mostly for those that want jobs, can secure a job. So the economy is still strong. And of course, that unemployment rate, not just interest rates that have maybe softened the economy a little bit. So we're seeing higher unemployment rates. I think it's actually more about the migration numbers, you know, that we're seeing so many new migrants coming in, that that's providing more labour for the market. So that's more choices for employers in terms of looking for workers. And I think that's helped to push that unemployment rate up. But let's not get carried away. Even though it's the highest in a couple of years, it's still a very, very low rate, that unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. So the economy's still strong. You know, really those higher rates haven't done much to ease the economy. When we look at also retail sales are still high. They're still above, well above the pre-COVID levels, even though we've had a lot of new people coming in, so more people, it increases the capacity of spending, and also inflation's higher. So we should see a higher volume of retail sales, but notwithstanding that, they're still rising at above those COVID levels just. So that data is still strong. And of course, our inflation data, although it's lower, is still too high. But inflation is lower. It has fallen substantially from its peaks, but it is still too high. Now, we're going to get the latest inflation data out, which we'll discuss next week. And I have some concerns about where inflation is heading now. I won't give too much away, but we certainly are still seeing higher housing costs. And in terms of the inflation numbers, housing costs really are a product of either rents or house building costs in the ABS model. House rent, as we basically show every month, are continuing to rise, home rents, that's houses and units. And we've seen a turnaround, as we discussed last week, in house building costs. They've actually started to kick up again. After having eased significantly, they're now above 7% growth over the year, which is just unsustainable, really, in terms of builder profitability. But the real news in terms of the outlook for interest rates and inflation is that we're now seeing a breakout in the price of oil. Over the last few days, oil has actually risen above $80 US a barrel. It's been tracking 60s, 70s, but it has broken above $80 US, which is a sort of a mark above which it starts to break out. So it's what they call a resistance mark, that $80 US a barrel. And once above that, the prospects are that it will go higher and sooner. Now, I don't have to tell people out there what the issues are with the price of oil, because if you've bought petrol recently, you'll know that it's well, in Melbourne anyway, petrol prices are certainly well above $2 a litre. So we're getting back to those higher petrol costs, which is a significant driver of inflation, you know, and that'll be something we have discussed this when we do discuss inflation, is how inflation has tracked the change in the oil price. You know, as we've seen the oil price fall, we've seen inflation fall. Now, the oil price increased through early spring last year, and guess what? Inflation increased, and guess what? The Reserve Bank put up interest rates. So we've got to be very, very alert to what's happening with the price of oil, because it has started to rise significantly over the last few days. So let's hope that doesn't continue, because it'll certainly, for a start, put the kibosh on any talks of lower interest rates, which I think is a little bit nonsensical, given which we'll look at in just a sec, those factors. But also, concerningly, it may bring interest rate increases into the conversation again. So I think rates are still unlikely, or are likely to remain on hold for the foreseeable future. Now, we looked at the narrative last week for the Reserve, or sorry, last month for the Reserve Bank, and it sort of, we picked it up, and a lot of other commentators noted it too, that the Reserve Bank was actually a bit pessimistic, a bit hawkish. In other words, they were talking very pointedly about, you know, that there's still a likelihood or a chance that interest rates may rise, you know, which was, oh, this is so different to everybody was talking about. Reserve Bank actually came out and said, look, hang on, you know, relax, take a cold shower. All this talk of lower rates, you know, we're still not out of the woods here, and we may have to raise rates. And I think the data supported that, and we've just sort of put a bit of an argument together for that now, which is a month later. But I think this month it was a little different from the RBA. They tended to really sit on the fence, in my opinion. I think their commentary really said nothing other than the fact that, you know, they felt that there was a lot of uncertainty out there, which there always is, but there certainly is now. And they're saying, oh, there's a lot of uncertainty. So basically, we don't know where we're heading at the moment, which is okay. So it's gone from being, you know, a sort of a hawkish view of the market with rates maybe having to be lifted, but certainly don't discount that, last month to this month saying, well, we're just sort of not saying anything at all. So they basically said in their commentary, and the important factor was the board is not ruling anything in or out. So they're basically saying, well, we could go up, we could go down, and we could stay where we are. So they're not ruling anything in and out, which is a very insipid, neutral sort of stance. But fair enough, I guess when you've got them on hold and you're saying you're really not aware of, you know there's a lot of risks, there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy, in the national outlook and the international outlook, I guess you've got to say that. But we've already crafted a little bit of a conversation today that looks at the potential for rates, you know, for inflation rising, you know, as a result of oil and house building costs and rents going forward. So that's our Reserve Bank decision for this month. We have to wait 6 weeks for the next one. And a lot can happen in that 6 weeks' time, of course. So hang on to your hats, everybody out there. This is the cash rate chart. You can see there another month at 4.35%. We're still lower than where we were back in 2011. So, you know, in terms of the historical nature in the medium term, we're still below where we were back in 2011, but looking to have topped off now. You can see the trends there are really flattening out after that very significant growth that we had, that very significant growth in interest rates that we had from May 2022. So here's the big question. Will rates remain on hold? And so these are the sort of factors we have to think about. The first is obviously inflation. That's, it's all about inflation. But the recent inflation declines have eased. So we've had a period where the inflation rate has fallen quite sharply. And we know, as I said before, that it has followed quite closely what's happened with the price of oil. But we went from a sharp fall to the latest figures was actually, for the headline rate, was actually flat. So we sort of, for 1 month anyway, haven't had that sharp fall again. We've had a bit of a flattening. And of course, what that does is it validates what a lot of commentators say, and what we do know is it's like everything in life, the last little bit is the hardest. And it will take more to get that last, you know, to get back to the target range, which is 2 to 3%. We're still sort of hovering near 4%, We need to get between 2 and 3%. Reserve Bank still says 2025 before we get there. But once again, you know, they say there's a lot of uncertainty about this. So even though, you know, so we haven't seen another big decline. So maybe that's showing us that there's just a little bit more resistance to getting inflation down at the sort of cuts we've been used to over the past year or so. And it's still well ahead of target. So that's a bit of a negative, right, for certainly cutting rates. And as I've just suggested or discussed, the price of oil is rising again, and that's a big concern. So again, that's another negative. I mentioned house building costs are rising again. That's another negative. Home rents are still rising, another negative. The jobless rate, on the other hand, is rising. So that would tell you, oh, okay, you know, the higher rates are working. They maybe are where they should be. Maybe we can start thinking about that being the peak of the cycle. But the point is that the jobless rate is still really low, 4.1%. It's not as though we're back into the fives or something. It's still really low. And a lot of that unemployment rate increase, perhaps, is because of migration. So it's just more people coming into the market through migration, the labour market, not really to do with interest rates per se. Retail sales, as we mentioned before, are still rising, not as they were when we had the stimulus up and running, but they're still rising and they're still high, you know, notwithstanding higher migration and higher inflation. So that's not showing a slowdown in people spending because things are getting tough, right? We've still got that. So that, again, that's a sort of a negative element. Strong house price growth is continuing. The Reserve Bank always looks at house prices. I'm not sure they should, but they always look at house prices. And we're seeing a revival again this year so far in house price growth. And some of those markets, Adelaide, Perth and Brisbane, are rising quite strongly at the moment. And that might be something that the Reserve Bank, in my opinion, you know, they shouldn't, but might take that into consideration as well in terms of interest rate settings. And, of course, that's a sort of a positive for, you know, having lower rates. Oh, sorry, having higher rates. So it's another negative. You know, they don't want to be cutting rates when there's already a strong housing market. The US rates are still well below, US rates are still well above Australian rates, even though our inflation rate is the same. There's been a lot of chat in the US and Europe about potential cuts to interest rates. The Fed will meet today, for its March meeting. At one stage at the end of last year, the market, all the predictors said that there was a 100% chance, 100% chance that US interest rates would be cut in March. It's not going to happen. In fact, now they're saying, oh, maybe it's towards the end of the year. So for God's sake, don't listen to what the markets are saying, because they are wrong so much more than they are right, if they are ever right. And here's another classic example. And we have to really view what the agenda is for a lot of those, you know, speculative forecasts, because lower rates will mean a stronger stock market. And of course, you know, that means profits for those involved in the stock market. So you have to understand that some of those, that speculation for lower rates is based on, you know, sort of vested interests, financial interests. But certainly the chat about cuts to official rates in the US particularly have gone right off the board now. And they're only talking, and there'll be more guidance today from the Federal Reserve. It's likely they're going to cut they're going to reduce the number of what they were sort of potentially forecasting for this year, cut that back again. I don't know why they forecast when they keep getting it wrong. Don't forecast unless you're really certain you're going to get the right result, because you just look a little silly. And I think the Federal Reserve is going to look a little silly now, having to backtrack once again on its forecast. Just don't predict interest rate cuts, just or rises, just say what it is now. And of course, the other thing is economic growth is slowing in Australia. So that's a positive. But I think on balance, all those factors are telling us that at the very, at the most realistic, that we are still seeing the rates to remain on hold going forward. But I think there are more variables in favour of higher rates than there are in favour of lower rates. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm saying just at the moment, the variables are pointing more towards the sort of the negative territory of higher rates than the positive territory, we can call it that way, of lower rates. Now, we'll have a look at again this next month just to see how it's tracking, and maybe we'll give a little score or a tick or a cross or something or an up or a down next to each one just to tell us what's happening. So we can create a little model here. I love a model. That'll give us a real scientific, insight into the prospects for interest rates going forward. Now, are we excited, investors out there? Well, we should be really. When we look at this data, you should be excited because these are the current investment returns according to our latest data, which is the February quarter house price data and the February quarter rent data. So we're going to put this all together and show us what it's typically returning for an investor. Now, these are gross yields. So what's a yield? A yield is the return that you're getting on your investment. So here we're looking at house gross yield. So we have our house, which is valued at X. We have our rent, which is valued at X. So we want to know over a year what that return is, all right? And then we want to compare it to what the other capital cities are doing. Now, these are gross returns. So all this is showing is the high-level rents versus the high-level price. So we're not, obviously, individual investment portfolios have different cost bases to them, different tax positions. There's different costs to having an investment property, such as your body corporate fees, you know, your rates, etc. So these are just gross costs. So we're not allowing for the net returns. This is gross returns. All right, let's get that clear. So when we look at all the markets for houses, in terms of the rent returns, the yields. So this is the rental return, annual rent return on the current value of the February quarter of a Perth house. And those returns, 4.03% for Perth, so Perth ahead of the rest. Brisbane, 3.59%. Adelaide, just below, 3.54%. Melbourne, 2.95%. And Sydney, 2.6%. Typically, Sydney has the lowest because it has the highest values. So the disparity between prices in Sydney and the other capitals is higher than the disparity between rents, if you know what I mean. So that gives Sydney's return lower, although its capital growth potential and its asset value is higher. I hope that's clear. So that's the position there. Just above four or just below four in most of them, except for Melbourne and Sydney, which are the higher price markets. So that's the gross investment yield for houses. So let's have a look at units now. What are the gross investment yields for units using the same model? This is the current value, quarterly value of units in each of these capital city markets. And we're going to use the current rents, the February rents, for our return. And we're going to look at that over a year. What proportion is that? What percentage is that of the value over a year? So in Perth, 7.17%. That's a big return, a big gross return. Brisbane, but Perth unit market is small. Let's be clear about this. It's a small unit market, but Brisbane isn't a small market. It's a big market for units. And its gross returns, look at that, 6.63%. Melbourne, 3.37%. Adelaide, 5.15%. And Sydney, again, the underperformer at 5%. Now, when we see these high yields compared to other yields, sometimes it can indicate that the price is too low, if you understand what I mean. So It means that we're getting a bigger return because the value is low. So that tells us that maybe it's going to get lower, the yield will get lower, because the asset value will rise. But this hasn't been happening because this happened with Canberra. We saw that last year and we predicted that asset values would rise because their yields were too high, because their yields would fall because their capital growth would rise. I hope I'm being clear here. But what we're seeing now is that these yields are holding, even though we're still seeing, as we know, strong growth in units, Perth, Brisbane, and Adelaide. Yields are still holding at these higher levels. And that's because rents are continuing to rise as strong as prices. So isn't this the best of both worlds for an investor? You're getting capital growth and you're also getting increased rents, which is keeping your yields at a higher level than other comparable state markets. So particularly that Brisbane market, I think, is showing some tremendous returns. And as I said, those yields are holding at above 6% because prices... rents are rising as fast as prices, when we would expect the higher prices to push yields down because they won't be rising as fast as rents. So I hope that's clear. That's some very interesting data there, certainly comparing. So let's put it all together, shall we? So we're going to add what the capital growth was for each of our capital city markets over the year ending February, and we're going to add it to the gross yield. You understand? So what we're saying is this is your gross yield over the year, which we've just looked at there. Now we're going to add to that the capital growth, because that's the other thing you get as an investor, not just your return from your rents, you're also getting the growth in the value of your asset. So let's put them all together and hey, hang on to your hats, everybody. Look at these returns. So over the year ending February, Perth houses have returned with yields and capital growth 26.33%. Brisbane up 18%, Adelaide up 17%, Sydney up 15%, Melbourne up 5%. So some very big returns there for those markets that are still growing strongly, Perth, Brisbane and Adelaide. Good returns there for investors. And units even stronger. Perth again, number one. Adelaide there up 25.85%. Brisbane up 23%. As I said, Perth and Adelaide are smaller unit markets. They're not. They don't have this the volume that the bigger capital cities do, but Brisbane does, and it's offering a very big return there with capital growth and yield, and 23.13%. This is what we know about how strong that Southeast Queensland market has been, and for various reasons which you've explained. So there are our investment returns for property, Glenn. I'm sure you're excited about this. It does show just how strong property is over the past year, and those that have had property or invested in property over the past year can certainly, across the board almost, with a couple of exceptions, be pretty contented with the returns on their gross returns on their investment. Of course, as I said before, this doesn't really account for the net returns, which is about how much you're paying on your mortgage, how much leverage you've got, what your rates are, what your body corporate is, all those sort of bits and pieces. But you can, this is the starting point that you can tell, well, this is the big picture in terms of the gross. And now I take away the net, of course. And these are aggregate things. So, let's be a bit cheeky. And we've seen all those returns that are been offered over the past year for property. Let's have a look at the journey of property houses, values, versus the share market over the past long period. And this is nearly this is nearly 30 years that we're talking about here. Well, 2007, we're certainly talking 20 years nearly. And we can see there that the comparison with the All Ords, and it depends where you take your starting point when you compare these types of asset classes, because some can be have a high period and low period, so that can sort of influence the data. But I've started this at 2007, at the end of 2007, which, if you remember back, was the end of a very, very strong period in the Australian economy. It was the end of the big mining boom. We had our share market surging over that period to record levels. We also had very strong prices growth in most of our capital city markets at that time. So let's have a look. So I think that's a really good starting point. It sort of doesn't favour one or the other to some degree. So since that period, the All Ords has increased in that near 20-year period, 14.2%, which isn't very good, is it, Glenn? Mm. Seriously, no. Mate.
And you look at the returns of the house prices.
It's a little underwhelming, surely, when Sydney house prices have increased by 167%, Melbourne up 130%, Brisbane and Adelaide up about 100%. And Perth, the underperformer. Perth had a very strong period and then a very low period as a result of those ups and downs from the mining booms, up by 47.4%, but still three times better than the All Ords. So, as I said, it depends where you take the beginning of these measurement and the end of these measurement points. But I think that's a fairly reasonable position to take from a starting point. And I think there's a lot out there with super funds that would be thinking, I'm not sure how well my super fund's been doing. Certainly not as strong returns as I'm getting from my house overall. Now, okay, correct. That's one thing or another. But the other thing is they might say, share markets haven't done well generally, over this period. Well, that's actually wrong, because the US share market has actually performed every one of those asset classes. It's actually gone up 200% in that period. So the All Ords has increased 14.2%. but the US share market has increased by 200% over that same period. So, you know, a little bit of a question mark, certainly over investment. Of course, look, there's a lot of different variables here. You know, the returns you can get are different, can be from shares, you know, but this is just the actual values of the shares as measured by the All Ords, which is the aggregate of all the major shares, which is used as a benchmark for measuring All Ords performance of the share market. And of course, these are the aggregate data for the capital city market. So interesting stuff. I'm sure we'll get lots of comments on that one, as we always do, but bring it on, you know. All good. So we've already alluded to the weekend auction markets. Last weekend was the resumption. We always look at those weekend auction markets because they're a very good forward indicator of what's happening generally in our housing markets. You can see there how clearance rates track prices in the Sydney market, and similarly in the Melbourne market, clearance rates track prices. So last weekend was the resumption of the market. The previous weekend, we had a holiday weekend. We had long weekends in Adelaide, Melbourne and Canberra. Melbourne was Labor Day, Canberra was Canberra Day, and Adelaide was the Adelaide Cup. So we had long weekends there, you know, low numbers of auctions. But this last weekend, we bounced back with a full set of auction activity. And as I mentioned to you, another big weekend of numbers. And it just started to get that sense that these big numbers are just finding or challenging the buyer depth out there at the moment. And we're going to have that again this coming weekend with Super Saturdays, where we're going to have some big numbers of auctions. So let's have a look at the results. Excuse me, another big day in Sydney, 836 auctions. Clearance rates still reasonable, but down from the previous weekend. Auction numbers similar. But when we look back a year, you can see how much higher the listings are compared to a year ago. You know, 200 more auctions compared to a year ago. Similar sort of clearance rate. Melbourne, look at that, 1,290 auctions in Melbourne last weekend. Clearance rate a little bit down on the previous weekend. And Melbourne certainly has been an underperformer, not just in prices growth, but also in its auction performance, but not underperforming in terms of the numbers of properties coming through the market at the moment, which are at record levels for this time of the year. Now, this weekend in Melbourne, we may see 1,500 auctions, Glenn, which is a big number. And we're going to break the record for the first 3 months of the year for the number of auctions and probably for the number of auction sales. But it'll certainly test the depth of buyers in the market. But just look at a year ago in Melbourne, 900 auctions versus 1290, clearance rate around about the same. Brisbane, big weekend for auctions in Brisbane. Clearance rate down, but we know that Brisbane rate moves around a bit. It has a different auction culture to Melbourne and Sydney. But nonetheless, that's a pretty solid result given all those auctions in Brisbane. Adelaide, it was down a bit after hitting that 83% mark over the holiday weekend. But again, when we look at the same weekend last year, some very big differences in terms of the numbers of auctions being conducted. So sellers are quite happy to be in the market. Mm-hmm. And we're still seeing reasonable clearance rate. Canberra auctions up again following the Canberra Day long weekend, the previous weekend. Clearance rates down a little bit, but well ahead of where they were a year ago. And when we look at the monthly comparisons, just month by month, we can see that Sydney's tracking ahead of where it was a year ago so far this month. And Melbourne, a little bit lower than where it was a year ago. Brisbane higher. Adelaide similar. And Canberra just reviving to some degree with its clearance rates just a little ahead of where it was a year ago. On we go. And, of course, if you want those latest clearance rates, you can go to my LinkedIn account, Doc Andrew Wilson at LinkedIn. Saturday night snapshot around about 6:30 with the Capital City results. The full national report Sunday's 9 a.m. There, if those that have a copy of the presentation today, they can get a link to the latest national auction report for the weekend on that QR code. So go for it, guys and girls, and take a picture of that, and the QR code will give you that PDF file to download. And as we always finish off with the big ad, the My Housing Market Infinity Suburb Data app. You want to have a take a scientific approach to what's happening in the housing market. You want to look at how your suburbs are performing on a national basis, just to do some comparisons where you can look at our app. Again, there's a QR code which will give you a link to the app, but you must get the password from Infinity. Our friends at Infinity have control of that. So if you want to get this fantastic app, get onto Infinity. company, and they'll tell you how to access it. But that's the QR code to the app. It does give you all the latest asking prices and rents for all suburbs that have data nationally. So we've used a screenshot here of the app just to, as an example. We're looking at prices. We've looked at, we filtered it for New South Wales, Sydney region. We've looked at Blacktown, which is a large suburb in Sydney. We've filtered it for a house. You can also filter it for a unit or a townhouse. We can also filter it for the number of bedrooms. We looked at five bedroom. So a five bedroom house in Blacktown currently has a high price of 1.5 million. As a median, and a low price of 990. And there are nine properties currently for sale. Now, this is updated daily, this data. So you're always seeing exactly what's happening. But it does give you a sense of how the market's performing, not just the median price, but the high and the low, and importantly, how many properties there are for sale currently. So it's asking prices and asking rents. And here's the same, here's a screenshot now, but we're looking at the rental market. So you can filter it for rents, and same, we've used Blacktown five bedroom house, which has a median rent of, I think that's 600, a high of 700, and I can't see the low, there it is, of 570, and just four properties for rent in Blacktown, no surprise, because like everywhere else, there are hardly any properties for rent in our capital city markets and our regional markets as well going forward. So next week, Glenn, all excited. We're going to have the latest labour market data. So that will add to our matrix of where interest rates are going. We'll see if there's maybe higher unemployment rate, which will, if that occurs, that might think, okay, maybe these interest rates are working and we're getting to the point where we could say we're not going to see any more rises. We're also going to have the latest population data, which will be interesting because we've used population. We know the population has been a significant driver of our housing markets, particularly in southeast Queensland. Let's see how that's continuing to evolve. We're also going to have the latest inflation data. So some very important news there in regard to where interest rates are heading with inflation data for the month and also the labour market. And of course, as usual, we will have the latest weekend auction results. And for anybody who missed the presentation with Glenn and I today, which has been very exciting, I can tell, then you can download that or take a picture of that QR code and you'll get a PDF copy of our data in this report, which I'm sure will assist you in all your property decisions. So that's all from me today, Glenn. So we've done pretty well, mate, given just how scratching my throat. And we look forward to hopefully a better throat and more data next week. Same time, same bat channel.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone at home. And thanks again, Doc, for the data again. Appreciate your time.